Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome one and all to Trisha's True Crime Radio Show, the show that always has that fresh spring smell. Well, actually not today. There is a different smell. I have this teeny tiny window air conditioner and it broke. It's 788 degrees here. I can fry an egg on my thigh. It is so hot. I feel like a molten blob of human being. It is so hot. So if I sound like a molten blob of a human being tonight, that's why, because I really, truly am. Now, at the end of the show, I always read a disclaimer stating that this show is separate, completely separate, from Web Sleuths and Forums for Justice. Two of the forums that I own Forums for Justice, and I'm co-owner of WebSleuths.com LLC. Now, that's not only for legal reasons, but other than the fact it's true, I read that disclaimer so if anything happens here on the radio show, people won't get mad at Web Sleuths. No one over there has any control over this show. It's all me. Now, speaking of control, since it is live, there are times I can't control what is said. Last Thursday, I had two people on the show. One was a friend of Mark Redwine's, Dylan Redwine's father. Dylan's remains were found last week. And the other was a person who had spoken to Mark on my behalf to invite him on the show. Mark Redwine has been on this show, and if you've listened, you know I don't let Mark get away with anything negative towards Dylan's mother, Elaine. I won't have it, and he knows it, and he stops. However, on last Thursday's show, one of the guests told the story about Elaine driving out to Mark Redwine's house and yelling, "Murderer." Now, I had no idea it was going to be mentioned on my show, and in fact, that was the first time I heard the story. When the story was told, some people took it as a slam against Elaine. I know the guest did not mean it. It did not mean for it to come off that way. I can guarantee that. And I want to publicly apologize to Elaine or anyone else who was offended by what happened. Again, if I had an inkling something like this was coming, I never would have allowed it, but that's what happens with live radio. The person who said it in no way meant to offend anyone. She was only repeating what Mark Redwine told her. Come to find out, Mark told the newspapers about the incident. And let's face it, I don't blame Elaine, do you? I would tell Mark that. I'd do that. Mark has openly accused her of taking their son. And in fact, Dylan is dead, and Mark was the last one to see him alive. No one, not even Mark Redwine, can blame Elaine for venting her anger. Now, let's be honest here. Mark has faced the tough questions on this show. I'm glad he came on the show, and I was hoping he might come in tonight. He might call in. It still might happen. I don't know. Last I heard, he had received the invitation and was thinking about it, and that's all I know. But let me ask you this. Don't you think it's a good idea for Mark to come on the show? Don't you want to hear his explanations? I do, because this show is about getting to the truth. And the truth can be ugly, messy, and uncomfortable. But I like to get to the truth. And this radio show gives us a chance to hear from people we read about, to hear about cases that the rest of the world has forgotten as well. Actually, that's one of my main goals with this show, is to allow people who would never get a chance to have their loved one's case featured by any media to have their case featured on this show. Now, I don't have an unknown case every week, but we try. Sometimes we just focus on the high-profile ones, but we do our best to get those unknown cases to you. Again, from my heart, I am sincerely sorry for what was said last week. I felt it was not said in an attempt to be malicious at all. It was just somebody repeating what Mark Redwine had told them, and if you were offended, I do deeply apologize. And I do want you to remember, what goes on here at the radio show has nothing to do with Web Sleuths or Forums for Justice, so if you're upset about something that happens on the show, come to me. I'll do my best to resolve it. I just want to make you happy, I promise. Okay? Again, I am very sorry. Up front tonight, we haven't spoken to her in quite a while. Every time I've scheduled her on the show, she's had some horrible mishap happen. And today is no exception, but she's here today anyway, even though her phone broke. It's Katie Cool Lady, our eyes and ears for the Jodi Arias trial. Katie Cool Lady, welcome back to Trisha's True Crime Radio.
Hi, Trisha. How are you?
I am doing good. How are you is the question. Are you hanging in there?
I'm hanging in there, but right now I have a huge smile on my face because I'm talking to you on my brother's phone because I had to finagle that whole thing, and I'm looking at my phone sticking out of a bag of rice, and it's working again. I saved the resurrection of my phone.
Well,
after
you dropped,
I took a relaxing bath, which I really needed. And I got like, okay, now I'm going to go lay down. I'm nice and relaxed. Mm-hmm. And proceeded to pick up the towel and toss the phone right into the bathtub.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's in the bathtub. Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, it's saved. So I'm back in business. So anyway, but hello.
Hello. Well, what you do, this is good. This is Trisha's True Crime Tips on how to get your cell phone working. Maybe people don't know this. You put it in uncooked rice, and the rice soaks up the water. That's an old wives' tale that is true, right? Because your phone's working now.
Yeah, it did. Yep. I mean, I had to run to the store, like, immediately. I threw my clothes on and ran to the store and then got to the coffee shop where I could get some Wi-Fi on my iPad to write you to say, I don't know if I can call in because they couldn't figure out the number, you know, all the numbers go.
Right.
Anyway, so they said 48 hours, but poof, 3 hours my phone's working.
Perfect.
So,
well,
yeah.
I was not going to let you not call in again because I don't want it to be the year 2015 and we finally get the update on Jody Arias that we are looking for. But Katie, now the last time that you and I talked, you're going to be on the show a few weeks ago, let's talk about Jody Arias. You were there for that 43-second hearing, and in that 43 seconds, there was a lot going on that wasn't involved with the hearing. It was just what you were observing. Why don't you tell us?
Well, there was a lot going on around that hearing, too, not the least of which while we're waiting and waiting and waiting, because they had an ex parte hearing, meaning the defense went back with Jody. While we were waiting, I got to talk to Juan Martinez for like 15 minutes, which was really cool. So that was, and he gave me his contact information because I wanted to send him something, so email him something. So anyway, that was kind of cool. It was very productive. But we sat, those of us that went, because the only family member that went was their Aunt Heather, who I've actually gotten to know quite well, and she was the only person that could come. Ironically, she comes from Ohio, but her husband's a pilot, so she can fly for free. So she made it, and then, you know, we were in contact, a lot of us were in contact with various siblings of Travis and told them we'd be there in the front row with her, so we were. Jody came in, you know, she was in those dingy stripes, and the, you know, pink socks and the little sandals, and she had full-blown shackles. She had the wrist shackles, the ankle shackles, something around her waist. She had a female guard. From what I could see, that guard never took her hand off Jody's shackles the entire time.
Really? So let me stop you there. Let me ask you, is that normal for all prisoners, or is that just Jody Arias' special delivery? Did she do something? Have I heard rumors, or am I making it up because my brain is bubbling from heat? Have I heard rumors that she's been causing problems?
Well, you know, I asked about that because not only was she so closely guarded like that, like, I mean, literally her hand was on her the entire time, not just walking across the courtroom and walking back, but when she was sitting in her chair, this guard was on her. But there were these other, they looked like freaking SWAT team members that were in there that were lining the courtroom, and they had these things on the front of their uniforms that looked like parachute packages, and they had their hands at the ready on these things, and they were constantly, like, their eyes were constantly darting and scanning the courtroom. I had never seen anything like that in the courtroom before. So I asked, the two victim advocates were there, who I know both of them, and they kind of had mixed reviews, because one of them said that she thought the reason there was all that security was they only do that if somebody has been a behavior problem and has been acting up in jail. But then the other one said she thought that they did that simply because she was already convicted of first-degree murder and on maximum security in the jail, that it was standard procedure. There were five guards in the courtroom in addition to the one that had her, you know, hand on Jody the whole time. And then when Jody sat down, when she came, you know, it was very, I have to say, it was very dramatic because, you know, she's walking across the courtroom and it's very loud, the sound of her shackles. Mm-hmm. And then she sits down at her, you know, normal seat at the defense table. And picture this, so the female guard is still standing right on top of her, behind her. So it appeared, at least to me, that she still had a hand on her shackles, even when she was sitting there talking to her defense attorneys. And then there was on either side of her one of those male guards, you know, within like 2 feet of her, on either side of her. I mean, she had absolutely no wiggle room the entire time
she couldn't move. Would it surprise you? And again, I'm just, you have no way of knowing, I just want your opinion. Would it surprise you that she had been a discipline problem in prison and that's why she was all shackled up and wrapped up?
It wouldn't surprise me just for the fact that she, you know, is now in extremely different living conditions than she's ever been in since she's been in jail in that 23-hour day lockdown. And it's my understanding that they're going to keep her like that for the duration. So to take somebody like her, who's been in more of kind of a dormitory style, you know, sorority club housing situation, you know, comparatively, and put them on lockdown like that where they have no socialization, you know, someone like her particularly, you know, who, you know, needs a lot of attention.
Yes.
I heard, it's just a total rumor, I don't know who even said it, but somebody in the courtroom said they heard that she was doing a lot of screaming from her cell. I can't imagine that's unusual, you know. I think there's a lot of screaming that goes on in the jail. So, but that's really, you know, I can't confirm that. But, no, it wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me. But she's more sneaky and manipulative, you know. She would be more likely to hide stuff, you know, hide stuff and do subversive things and try to sneak things in and out. You know, that's more her style, I would say, than being, like, brute force.
Well, it. I don't think anything she does would surprise anybody. And, like you said, it was a rumor about her screaming, but let's face it, like you said, she's never been in this situation, and she didn't think she was going to be in this situation. She thought she had everybody fooled. And so I'm sure she is living a life of denial and just having a real tough time. You know, when she found out they weren't going to allow her to start, you know, a recycling program and a program to teach prisoners Spanish, you know, Jody, you're going to sit there, you're going to eat dry bologna sandwiches for the next 25 years. So, okay, so you're in the courtroom. Tell us more about what went on.
Well, so we sat on the front row. There was a lot of waiting. And, you know, we obviously saw her come in, saw her go out. She stepped out of the courtroom briefly, probably used restroom, came back. She was actually still in the courtroom when we left, because there was a lot of other cases that were backed up. I mean, that courtroom over on her side, it was a total different scene. There were probably 15 defense attorneys over on her side milling around waiting for their cases to be heard. So, you know, once again, Jody is holding up the whole proceedings, because she met with her attorneys in that ex parte hearing for probably at least 45 minutes. And
oh,
so this hearing was really, really delayed. And that's why Juan Martinez was sort of roaming around, and we got to chat with him. Anyway, on the other side, on the public side, were the three jurors that came for this hearing. Juror 17, 16, and 6. Yeah. So three female jurors, and some of the people that I was with had been in some communication with someone who had met them before. And so after it was over, we all went out for a couple of hours for a breakfast. So that was nice to meet them after all this time of obsessively observing them, which is what I did all those weeks, to meet them and converse with them.
Is there anything you can tell us about the lunch? Anything, any observations that they had that you feel you can share with us?
Well, all three of them were definitely death penalty. They would have voted for the death penalty. They definitely are holding solidarity with their other fellow jurors. Something I found interesting, because I was running through them ideas about who I thought would have been the foreperson, because, you know, I was constantly observing the jury. That was one of my main roles of being in the courtroom, and then making my own projections, you know, and predictions. And I spoke with Juror 6 more than any of the other ones that day, and I said, you know, do you think Juror 8 would have been the foreperson, because he was really my pick, you know, the one I called CEO Daniel is his name.
Right.
The one that kicked off after he had a DUI, and who knows what that was all about, really. But anyway, he said, oh, definitely. She thought he would have been the foreperson.
Really?
So I nailed that, yeah.
Yeah, good.
But the other interesting thing she said was that Juror 2, who was never took a note that I could see, we called him Trump, and, you know, he's very quiet, and, you know, I mean, not that I would know if he was quiet or anything, but he was just, you know, kind of to himself and, you know, a little bit nondescript, and he always had his chin in his hand, and he didn't really engage in any direction. She said that he actually kind of took a real facilitator role with the jury.
Really?
And she said he kind of took the role that Juror 8 had before, which was kind of like an organizer and that sort of thing. So didn't get the impression from anyone that they're a huge fan of the four person. I'm just going to leave that at that. So
okay.
That was just my impression. I'm not going to quote anything, but there's
mm-hmm.
not. And anyway, so I don't think he's talking. A lot of them are not going to talk. And they knew the ones that weren't going to speak. Another interesting thing was they were just talking about their need to continue to talk and process this. And I
mm-hmm.
actually invited a couple of them to come on the radio show because they said that's
oh,
a great place
absolutely.
For you to keep talking because, you know, you can talk there. You're not going to get cut off. And
right.
so I had conversations with two of them about that. And one of them looked at me and she said, you know what, after today I think I'm complete. And
wow.
they were all interviewed. They were really swarmed after the hearing because we walked out in the hallway with them. And one, I felt bad for this Mary Ellen Resendez because she went up and she was securing an interview with them. And they, because
mm-hmm.
we were getting ready to hang out for brunch. And she said, can I just have a few words with you? And they're like, okay, sure. And then she should have taken them somewhere else privately because as soon as we walked out, because we all walked out with them because we were headed over to brunch,
mm-hmm.
there were all these cameras out there that just swarmed them. So
oh,
they were so surrounded. So poor Mary Ellen, who was the first one to get the interview, was sort of like bumped out of that whole scene.
Yeah.
But so we waited for quite a while, you know, at least a half an hour,
mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour for them to give interviews. So maybe that's why they said, you know, I think I'm complete. Now, there's one that may still feel like she wants to continue to talk, and it's primarily, I think, because she was an alternate and did not get to deliberate.
Right.
So I think
oh, we'd love
sort
to have her on.
Yeah,
we'd
she was
love
interested.
To have her
she's
on.
On vacation right now. So
mm-hmm.
she couldn't do it, but she was very interested in doing it. The other two were thinking about it, and then, like, kind of as the brunch went on, she just said, you know what, I think I'm like, finished. I think I've said everything I need to say. So
that's
but
good.
We'll see.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. They're always welcome. I mean, if it's a year from now, I'd still love to hear from them just because it'd be so fascinating to get their true insights over everything that we were obsessing about, you know, constantly.
Oh, yeah.
So it would absolutely be fascinating. So when you talk to Juan Martinez, let me just stop briefly. We were talking with Katie Cool Lady, and if you all remember during the Jody Arias trial, Katie was definitely our eyes and ears on the ground. Katie is a victim's advocate who really helped the Travis Alexander's family deal with this and get through this. And she has been very gracious in coming to Trisha's True Crime Radio and reporting what's been going on. When you talked to Juan Martinez, let's get back. You said you talked with him for about 15 minutes. Any insights there? Did you feel like, I'd be scared to death he'd start yelling at me because I'd do something stupid.
I know.
You know?
It's funny. We actually talked about this later because he is like a completely different person. He's very smiley and very warm. And I'm usually like a bull in a china shop because
mm-hmm.
I'm nervous about approaching him because, you know, he's supposed to be unapproachable during the trial, you know, and I still
mm-hmm.
think of him like that. Like, oh, you're not supposed to look at him, you're not supposed to speak, you know. And
right.
so, but he was just really just sort of hanging out, you know. I mean, what else
mm-hmm.
is he going to do for 45 minutes? And so he came over and was just sort of, you know, making small talk. It's sort of ironic because the Webster's poster that J-R-O, the
mm-hmm.
one he made that graphic that
yeah.
we're in a project, we got to make it into a T-shirt because it's so freaking cool, this graphic, and
mm-hmm.
Juan Martinez loved it. Well, because of his graphic, the day of the closing arguments, I got to have that private meeting with Juan Martinez to show it to him, and
right.
like this whole conversation. Well, now I got to talk to him. It's always about Jay. His name is Jonathan. It always goes back to Jonathan, because this time I wanted to tell him that that's being made into a T-shirt. So that's
uh-huh.
why I started speaking to him. And he's like, oh, I just love that thing. And I said, well, you have to hear his song. If
mm-hmm.
you haven't heard his song, because he made this, I love this song that he made. It's this, all Juan Martinez's words from the closing argument. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
him speaking with like a rap song set to this
smooth. Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's just so, because Jonathan is like a music mixer or something like that. He's worked in the music industry, so that's what he does. So
uh-huh.
he made this like very professional song that's not just a goofy thing. I mean, it's a really, really cool song about the verdict. So I just
mm-hmm.
said, oh my gosh, you just have to hear this song. And he was really interested in it. And so I said, I need a contact place to get you that song. And so
mm-hmm.
he went up to his desk and wrote it down on a piece of paper and folded it up and gave it to me.
Cool.
So Yeah, so I did send it to him. I haven't heard anything back, so I hope he saw it. But, you know, we were just sort of making small talk about that and about, now I'm remembering. He asked, I connected up the dots with him because I knew that he knew I was in the courtroom based on our case, my family's case, because I knew someone else had talked to him about me being in the courtroom, and so he knew about our case. So I said, I don't know if you've ever connected the dots as to who I am. And he goes, oh, that's you. I was wondering who that was. I knew you were in the courtroom. And so he kind of put that all together. And then he started asking me all these questions about our case and where they were at with the appeals and what are, you know, one of them got off death row and the mental retardation. He asked me how that was for me. He knew the name of our judge. You know, he's very different in that he's very inquisitive and engaging and, you know, smiling and relaxed. It's very easy to talk to him. It's scarier than shit to approach him. But when you do, he's very easy to talk to.
I'll remember that. Because, boy, he terrifies me. And I don't scare very easily, but I don't think I'd be able to talk to him. I think I'd just burst out bawling. I'd just start out just by sobbing. Because I just know he'd yell at me. So, okay. So now, so what's next, Katie Cool Lady? What's the deal with Jody? What are we going to be hearing about in the months to come? The next thing is what? July 18th? Is that the next date of something?
Yeah. That's all that happened at this hearing was to just postpone it to July 18th. And, you know, some things happened, you know, behind closed doors around that. The other thing was I ended up going out to dinner that night with Travis's Aunt Heather because I ended up giving her a ride and she wasn't able to get on her flight because, you know, when you do the standby thing, you know, you're not guaranteed a seat. So she ended up spending the night and just texted me and I was free. So I said, let's go to dinner. And that was really wonderful because we were both like in tears talking about how we've been through these horrible tragedies, but you meet really wonderful people that you wouldn't have any other way. Like we were talking about ourselves, you know, each other.
Right.
And that was really wonderful.
Good.
Just to bond with her like that. So she'll be coming back probably for that July 18th hearing. I don't know if any of the other family will. I mean, like, why take a day off and drive over for something that's going to be, you know, 30 seconds? Samantha did participate on the phone at that hearing. So that'll probably be something like that too. But we'll go, you know, we'll be there for that July 18th thing. They'll then be deciding when to postpone it again. And I think Aunt Heather is, or Aunt Heather, because she's Heather, but anyway, she's their aunt. She's thinking it's going to be late fall.
There's a question from the chat room. There was an area supporter who was removed from the court. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I saw that whole thing.
What's the scoop?
Yeah, I forgot about that. There was a guy that was sitting with Jody's mom. Jody's mom was there, and a woman that has been with her other times there, looks maybe like a family friend or something, not her sister. And they were oddly sitting on the second to the last row instead of the front, but the whole front row was taken up with another family. Like I said, there were a lot of other cases that were sort of milling around that day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just strange to see them that far back, like in the public seat. But this kid, you know, he looked like a kid. He had very dramatic hair, like very like black and white striped hair, super long, hanging in his eyes in the front, short in the back. Looked very young to me. Looked, you know, like still maybe even a teenager. He was sitting with Jody's mom and the other woman. So it was just the three of them sitting there with Jody.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden there was some commotion, and I didn't see what happened. But he was removed from the courtroom, and then he came back. And so maybe he was given a talking to or something like that, because then he came back, and then they were moved up to the front, ended up in the front. And then I missed all this, but I guess he stood up and, you know, blew kisses or something at Jody, and then he was removed. So when I walked out, that might have been going on talking to Juan Martinez, because my back, I don't know, because Jody wasn't in there. I don't know what was going on, but when we left, he was waiting out, and I saw him waiting out in the hallway, just looking like a teenager with a shitting grin. That's what he looked like to me. You know, oops, you know.
I didn't mean to.
Boss-looking guy, you know. So I don't know. My impression was this is somebody that she's hooked up with in some ways since she's been in jail. You know, that kind of fringe kind of person, and that maybe he came to see, maybe he's been writing her, and maybe he came to court to see her in person for the first time, because she turned around and saw him and, you know, had this big smile when she turned around and saw him. I will tell you, though, my impression of her, I was really watching her when she came back and she was talking to Maria De La Rosa, her mitigation specialist. Her affect was so different than any other time I'd seen her. Like, you know how sometimes somebody is smiling, but they're smiling through a mask of strain? So they're, like, trying to look normal, but they can't even fake it? She looked like that to me. I saw it all over her. She looked very, very different to me. Her affect looked very different. So, you know, they kept flashing that little video or picture of her smiling. That was not the usual affect, and that was definitely not how Aunt Heather described her to me when she was, because Aunt Heather was back there in the closed hearing with her, sitting right, you know, near her, and she, that was not at all how she described her.
How did she describe her?
Similar to how I saw her, you
just,
know, very
just sorry, the same way.
But she's, you know, this is affecting her. You can see that. I could see that all over her, because I watched her, you know, for weeks in court, and she looked very, very different to me. Her whole demeanor. Good.
Well, that exactly. Finally, she's finally getting the idea that this is not something that she's going to be able to talk her way out of, to sweet talk her way out of, or to sex talk her way out of. It's done. She's done for life. So, and now she's seen the real prison that she's going to be in, and I'm sure that is a horrible shock, and good. I'm glad. I'm really glad. So, is there anything else about the Jodi Arias, that situation? Any other tidbits, little scoops of gossip that you can think of before we move on to the next topic?
I think we've probably covered all of it. We're going to be having a gathering coming up here pretty soon at a private home, and the family will be coming over. I'll be seeing the family this summer. I'll just say that, at a gathering around Travis's birthday. So
when
I'll,
is his,
you know,
birthday?
Late July.
Okay.
So we're going to read on how they're doing. I'll probably see most of the siblings will be coming over for that. So I'm looking forward to seeing and touching base with them. And I think they're all at various stages of how they're doing. You know, I think, you know, it's how can you really move on when everything's at this big freaking pause? You know, you can't quite move on, but they're back at work and, you know, functioning and stuff like that, you know. So it'll be good to see them.
There is one question from the chat room, two actually. Do you know about Jodi's tweet, what that was about? I don't know about the tweet. I've everything Jodi Arias has fallen out of my brain.
Yeah, I actually block her Twitter just because out of principle. So, but I did see, I think I did showed up on Web Sleuth where it's something about she hasn't decided if she's taking a plea or not.
Oh, that's right. The plea deal. That's right.
Yeah. I think that's typical Jodi Arias bullshit. I think she thinks she's in control, and I think she thinks that she can decide if she's taking a plea or not. Personally, with everything I know, I don't think any plea is going to be offered to her. I think we're going to go to another sentencing hearing, and I think she's going to be sentenced to death. I don't think
they're going to give her a plea. So the death penalty is still on the table, because I've heard that it's not on the table, then it is. So it's still on the table officially that we know of, and we don't know of any plea deal that has been given to Jodi, and that's probably, this is just our talk. You're talking out loud, I'm talking out loud, and we're putting our out louds together here. Jodi is probably just tweeting this crap because she can. She has someone to do it for her.
Right. Yeah, she thinks she's in control. And you know what? It might be this little boy that showed up in court might be her new tweeter, you know, doing that for her. Maybe that's the relationship, because Donovan, I guess, can't be in communication with her anymore. So, you know, she had to find somebody else to do it. So maybe that was kind of a gut feeling I had, like maybe that she's got found somebody new to do that for her. But, yeah, I, you know, with the people I've talked to and things that I know, I would be shocked if she was offered a plea. I think we're going to another hearing. I think we're going to get another jury. They're going to go through another hearing. It'll probably take a couple, 3 weeks, and I think the next jury will probably sentence her to death.
Do you think the judge will allow a continuance until January 2014, your opinion?
Yes. No.
How come?
I don't think so. Just that's not what I'm hearing from the people that know how this is going down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, barring something else happening, but I think what people are planning for is the fall. And, I mean, that's farther out than I thought it would be, but it mm-hmm. just has to do with people's schedules and, you know, all the players' schedules and other trials and that sort of thing that's going on. But mm-hmm. I think the defense will be lucky to get it into the fall. But I don't think they'll get it to January. I think they want to do this thing.
Well, let's get off Jody Arias for a little bit and go to somebody that we all love and adore with our heart and souls, and that is the wonderful Beth Karras. If we do have more questions about Jody, we'll get back to them. But let's talk about a good person, and that's Beth Karras. We love Beth Karras. We want Beth Karras to do well. She was, I don't want to say she was let go from CNN or Headline News, but basically they had budget cuts, and she was part of the budget cut. You have some information about Beth. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I just texted with her on my way up here. I'm in Sedona right now, and she has her new website up and running, BethKarras.com. Mm-hmm. So go check cool. it out. And, yeah, she's been – go ahead.
I was going to say, Beth Karras, that's BethKarras.com.
Yeah, and so she's going to keep that updated as to what's going on with her. She's been writing on her free time. I don't know how much of that I can reveal, but she's been working on a book with someone else, and she asked me to clarify some details about the Jody Arias case. So I'm suspecting a book is coming out that she's participating in related to this trial. And I really don't know the details of that. I just know that she's been writing with another person, and she asked me to clarify some things that she wanted that had to do with writing that book that were related to the Arias trial. So that's exciting. She's been doing that. And then she said, I have some other exciting news to tell you, but I'm going to save it for a phone call.
Oh, man. No fair.
So I'll get that phone call going soon. I'm not surprised. I mean, she's going to get picked up somewhere something, you know, and we'll see.
Yes, so that's BethKarras.com, BethKarras.com. Maybe a book is coming out by Beth, which would be fabulous, because you know about the thing about Beth is she goes for the truth. There's no histrionics. There's no, drama. There's no misrepresentation. It's the good stuff, though. She gets the good stuff that you want to read about, and that's what's so great about her. She will land somewhere. You know what? I think this is going to be a really short show tonight. I really do. Let me just check and make sure that we don't have any more questions in the chat, which is good because I am melting. Let's see. Any other questions, people, for the wonderful Katie Cool Lady? Let's see. HLN, yes, Headline News definitely needs to bring Beth back. So anyway, I think that it's hot on the West Coast. Is it hot on the West Coast, too? Oh, my gosh, it's just hot everywhere. Okay. Yeah, my air conditioner's broken, and it actually just literally got fixed, but it's so loud that I have to have it off. And it's been off all day, and I had it on for like 30 seconds, and I had to turn it off for a show. So I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to dunk my head in ice and then just go stand in front of the air conditioner and try and chill my skin right off the bone. That sounds wonderful. Katie Cool Lady, thank you so much. I know it was difficult today, but you did it, and I am eternally grateful. You're always welcome on the show. If you hear of anything, let us know. I'll try and get Beth on the show. Maybe we can squeeze a few more details out of her, too. I think that'll be fun.
That would be great. And I am working on that juror, and I think she's going to come on not next week, but the week after, because she'll be in town. And she did express that she really wanted to do it. So
okay.
She's just going out of town. So, you know, stay tuned for that. Not next
Absolutely.
Sunday, but the week after.
Sunday after, all that. That will be wonderful. Katie Cool Lady, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, my best
to everybody out there, and we'll be in touch, okay?
Okay. See you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And I want to welcome back Kimster. Kimster.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going to. I wanted to tell you something.
What?
That you're not the West Coast is just so hot. I want to tell you what happened. So I have some petunias out front, but I don't use my front door very often, and I was afraid I was going to let them die. So I asked some people to remind me to water them. Well, I remembered after I got home from church this morning, and I went out to water them, and the hose got away from me, and it ended up going up, and then the water, and I still couldn't seem to get control, and it went just all over me. I'm not kidding you. It just drenched me from head to toe, and mm-hmm. it felt good because it's so hot.
Yeah, so getting drenched by the hose water is good. That's when you know
that
it's
worked.
Hot.
But the problem is wanting to go back in the house.
Yeah.
You've always got that, you know, dilemma because it's like, okay, I have to walk back in the house, and how am I going to do this without getting all this soaking wet clothes on me? And you can't very well take them off outside, at least in where I live in my neighborhood.
Well, you can, but you get arrested.
Well,
so,
well, there's a lot of young children around, so
exactly.
I wouldn't do that. Yeah.
I wouldn't scare young children with my body either. Boy, it'd be terrifying. Hey, but can you fry an egg on your thigh? That's what I can do.
No,
okay.
It's not that. I am in Oregon. It's not like I'm mm-hmm. in, you know, and I'm in Western Oregon, not Eastern Oregon. If I was in Eastern Oregon, my friends over in Bend area and Madras and that area, boy, they could do that today, no problem.
It is hot, and I don't think it's going to be letting up at all. So I think it's time to call it a night, my friends. Kimster, let's, you and I, we'll just go melt in our own respective little places. And Kimster, welcome back, by the way. You've been gone forever, and we're so glad to have you back. So thank you.
I feel like Katie Cool Lady. I've been all over the place. I've been to piano concerts. I've been to graduation parties. And what was the – I don't even remember what the other one was. There were my son's birthday. I had to celebrate that. I had to have a big celebration for his birthday because – well, I'm not going to tell you guys how old he's going to be next year. I'll just let you guys wonder. But next year, he's got a big one. And when your kids start hitting the big ones, then you're hitting the bigger ones. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Boy, do I hear you there. Well, it's good having you back. It's been, you know, you've been wandering, having a life. And me, with no life, it's hard for me to understand when people want to go out and do stuff. So I understand you want to go enjoy yourself, but the enjoyment's over. It's back to work, right?
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
That's right.
Absolutely. We're just glad you're back, my dear. Thank you so much. Well, that pretty much wraps it up, everybody. I'd like to thank everybody in the chat room. It's a short one tonight, but only because it's so darn hot. And do remember, Trisha's True Crime Radio, here it comes. If I can find it, where did it go? Oh, my goodness, I don't have it right here. Well, I can remember it. Trisha's True Crime Radio is... completely separate from websleuth.com, LLC, and forumsforjustice.org. We do our own thing here. You cannot get angry or upset with the two forums because it is our own little show right here. If you have a problem with what you've heard on Trisha's True Crime Radio, I want you to come to me because websleuth.com, LLC, and forumsforjustice.org are their separate entities, okay? Okay, thank you, everybody. We'll be back next week, hopefully with a longer show. It's Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss true crime and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everybody.